It is time for the Plant Rant on WPCA Radio, made possible by the folks at Baker Orchards at Centuria. And I wish, this is the one of the few times I ever wish we had television. Because I wanted to watch Sandra show up being right on the moment.
Hey. I'm here. No one needs to know the details of my morning.
Oh, come on now. Share it with
us. It was a good thing I started to leave late. Okay, fine. So I'm actually leaving early for once in my life, which fortunately, because my outer door was frozen and I could not get...
So you got a little rain by your place,
out
too.
Of it. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's the snow. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's an old house. It's quirky. It's fine. Then my car didn't want to start. But I made it. I'm here.
That's the main thing.
Good morning, everyone. And yes, thanks again to Baker Orchard. They, you know, anyone who had been out there this year, know they had a strange season with low bloom. And I think Honeycrisp that we did have, we had hail right before that. And then they lasted about, I don't know, maybe 5 hours when we were sold out of the Honeycrisp, which is a favorite. So anyway, we don't want to get too off track because we know how this always goes and we run out of time. So I have Ashley here from Rose Garden Hemp, and she is just going to, we're going to talk about hemp. You grow it and you make products. So good morning, Ashley. Thank you.
Good morning. Yes. So I do grow the hemp for CBD production. I've been doing that now for 4 years. And then I make all different types of products from gummies to puppy treats, muscle cream, a nighttime magnesium cream, all sorts of stuff. Some lip gloss for fun, you know, because why not? Who doesn't want some fun lip gloss?
So I always a good starting point. So you said you started growing hemp about 4 years ago.
Yep.
So how did you get involved? Like what inspired you or what path led you to that?
Well, I was ready to be done taking a break. I needed a little bit of a break from salon life. I was doing hair full time and I just needed to kind of take a step back from that and get back to my roots a little bit.
I love it. Like,
but actually, though.
Plant Rant.
So I got an email from one of the farms around and they were looking for growers because the hemp industry boomed in 2018 when it first came when the bill first passed. And then by 2020, everything was really kind of slowing down. And so they needed more farmers because we only had about a third of the amount of farmers that started.
Well, at the beginning, there was just everybody was on the bandwagon, right? And I think people don't really realize like how labor intensive and what can go in. I mean, hemp's
right.
A great crop and it's one of the better ones. It's easy. It has way less agricultural inputs and a lot of things, but you still have to harvest it. You still have to process it and people...
And it takes a lot of room, a lot of space, because you have to space stuff out depending on what you're growing for. Because I grow for the flower aspect of it, I have to space them out a little bit more than if I was growing for bulk mass.
Okay.
So I have to space them out about 5 feet apart.
Oh, interesting. And is that for air circulation?
Yep, so that they don't get moldy as they get bigger and that they have room to grow and nutrition-wise. So they have enough room to grow down and out enough because they have one root, big root that goes straight down and then like other ones that kind of branch out to reach out for the nutrients. So they need that much room of nutrients to get to the good flowers and to make them nice big plants.
And are you adding inputs for the nutrients or are you using what's in the soil or using nitrogen or?
So I do add some nitrogen and potash and a couple other things just depending on what the soil needs that year. I just have to test it every spring because the place I was growing before, I had huge plants every year and then I had to switch locations just due to some theft issues. And so then I switched and I've been just trying to get this soil to grow as good as the previous soil. Last year was a lot better than this year. The spring kind of slowed us down with the wet.
Yes, it was really
so
hard
wet.
To get in the field do anything. Yeah.
And the plants hated it. It stunted their growth. Unfortunately, I didn't harvest this year due to that because the plants were not, I mean, maybe the biggest one's probably 3 feet tall and didn't really have much for flower on it at all.
What's the typical height? Or what are you striving for?
What I'm striving for is usually like at least 4 to 6 feet tall and about that around as well would be an ideal size for a plant because you're going to get at least a pound off of that plant if it's that size.
Okay, so 1 pound. And then how many Okay, so about a pound per plant is mm-hmm. what you're looking for. And then how many plants are you growing? Like how many?
I usually grow about 300 plants okay. in less than an acre.
Oh, so wow.
You can grow up to 5,000 plants in an acre, depending on what you're growing for. Even more than that, too, depending on what you're growing for. If you're growing for biomass, you can grow a lot more than that, too.
And is there a like, so you want it for the flower and then you're yep. making products. But is there a secondary person or market that could come and use the rest of the plant, or what are you
like as far as the stems and yeah, those types of things?
Fiber type.
Usually with the fiber, what I do, and I use it for my dog, I just give her the sticks to chew on, and so we just keep a bucket of them, and when she needs a new stick, because it helps her calm down and relax. And I haven't started like, you know, sell that kind of thing, but it works for her, helps her stay calm, and just gives her something to chew
on. Hey, and they can sell pizzles, which are bull parts to yeah. for I would think
that's fair,
you know,
yeah,
the vegetarian market and the vegans, they might be open to have yeah. some all natural non-meat
right
chew toys for their dogs.
Yep. Yeah, funny. So it works well, and that's just what I do with it. And then with the like flowers and the other like smaller like stems and stuff, I do incorporate that into making some biomass, I guess is what you could call it, into some oil for the lower quantity when it needs less CBD in it.
And then how are you knowing? God, there's just so much. Okay, we have lots of time. I feel like but that's why it's Plant Rant. We're kind of all over the place.
That's all right.
So, okay, so your products, so are you testing the plant to know yep. that level?
Yep, so the USDA requires that 30 days prior to harvest, we get the sample, so we get it sampled. So we have someone come in, they're called a sampling agent, and they work for the USDA as well. They're licensed through them. It's just real quick. Anybody can do it. They come in, they take sample cuttings of different plants throughout the field, depending on how many plants you plants you have is how many samples they take.
Right, so it's a percentage.
Yep. So they do that, and they come in, they take the clippings, they mark, you know, they have to mark where they took the clippings from, like on the map and everything, of the location that they took the plant clipping from, so that they know if the plant comes back hot, which is what they call it when it tests above the 0.3% THC.
Okay.
So then that person sends it to a laboratory, and I work with that lab, and, you know, then the lab sends the information to the USDA and to me about whether it passed or not. And then that also shows the levels of the other cannabinoids in there, not just the THC level. So it'll show how much CBD is in it, and it'll show how much of the other cannabinoids might be present in it. A lot of times it's just NA, you know, it's not enough of a cannabinoid of any other thing than the CBD or the THC in there. But the strains that I grow were previously tested to be low enough, so I know going in that I'm not going to probably test hot unless something crazy happens with the soil throughout the year. So,
and then I suppose then there's the risk of getting in trouble for that, because now they're seeing it as marijuana and not as hemp.
So if it tests above the 0.3%, we have to do what's called remediation. So there's a couple options for that. You can either remediate it, or you can just get rid of your crop. So what you can do is you can cut it all down, like break it all up together, like grind it all up together, including the stalk and the stems and the leaves and everything.
And that'll lower that percentage.
That lowers
down.
The...
Interesting.
Sometimes. Can also make it go higher depending on the plant.
Boy.
So you have to be kind of careful with that. But usually it tests slower by the time you add in the stalks and everything, because the buds is where the concentration of the CBD is.
Okay.
So...
Wow, yeah. There's so much that goes into this, and it's so interesting.
It's a lot of little science stuff that you don't really think about until you're actually starting to grow. Like, I had no idea how much chemistry was involved with all this when I first started. I was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I just kind of dropped everything and ran, so.
Well, good for you. Yeah. And I think that's where so many people back out, because they have mm-hmm. no idea what actually goes into
it. I just did a lot of research and, you know, read a lot of books and just kind of listen to some of the experts out there that have been growing THC, because it is very similar. Though, I mean, it's the same plant, just it's kind of a cousin. You got to think about it like that. So it's just kind of like lettuces is how I usually explain it to people. You know, you have your romaine lettuce, and then you have, you know, your iceberg lettuce, and they're still both lettuce, but they're so vastly different in what they are good for. So, because THC has its qualities and very helpful for a lot of different things. And then CBD is also helpful for different things as well. So they just, they do have a good working relationship together. So.
Right. And so your products, you're wanting them high in the cannabinoids, but low in the THC.
Yep. So high in the CBD cannabinoid and low in THC. Okay. Yep. So it's going to be below the 0.3% THC. And then usually most of my plants, and it varies. That's the other thing too, is like plant by plant, they can vary up to 10% in the amount of CBD that's in it. So even if it says it tested at like 8%, that could be up to, you know, 18 or even up to 28%. Just depends on...
Because they're taking an average.
Correct. And they don't take a clipping from every plant.
Right.
And I, when I'm trimming and I'm hanging stuff to dry, I mean, all the plants, if it's the same variety, it's all going in the same spot. So I don't know what plant they tested from, you know. It's just, that's the generalization of like, okay, you can have, that's why, you know, if you do buy a product... and it says plus or minus 10% for stuff that a lot of the CBD products don't say that yet, because there's no laws on what they have to say, which is why they're getting away with all these Delta things. So,
okay. And two things, we're going to go back to that, because as a horticulturist, I've been super, super curious about the Delta stuff. So first, before I get totally off track. So you are growing specific cultivars then? Like you are growing your plants, are you cloning? Are you starting from seeds?
I start from seed.
Okay. And yep. With that seed, do you have variation then? Or is it a true to type seed where you have a specific cultivar or strain?
It's going to be the proper strain that I grow from. So like I keep, when I do all the trimming and everything, I keep the seeds separate. So like if I'm trimming the trifecta, I keep those trifecta seeds separate from my hybrid number 5 seeds. Okay. Right. So, and then when I go to the next year, here's the thing with the seeds though, because I didn't buy feminized seeds this year.
Okay.
You usually buying feminized seeds, then you are not quite guaranteeing, but 99% that you're going to have female plants.
Because you want the female plants.
You want the female plants. The male plants are useless. Sorry, guys, but males are useless in this industry. They just don't help much unless you're actually, you know, trying to just get the biomass. But they don't have a high enough CBD content to make it worth growing them.
Right.
Then you seed out for sure. So that's what happened to me a couple years ago. I did fully seed out one of my varieties. So last year I ended up with thousands of seeds. I can't even count. But I started over 400 seeds this year, and I ended up with 150 females.
So you're sexing them. You're starting them, sexing them.
And then putting them in the ground.
Out and mm-hmm. getting rid of the males.
So and even sometimes they can transition. There's a lot of like hermaphrodite plants too.
So it's interesting. So there's only 2 plants in the cannabinaceae family, and one is cannabis and the other one is hops.
Mm-hmm.
So they're related, and I help on the hop farm, St. Croix Valley Hops, and it's very similar because you wind up with the hermaphroditic mm-hmm. plants, and of course we want to get the males out of there.
Yep.
And sometimes you don't realize it till later, and then we have to mark them because you want, you know, and like with the hops, it's a perennial crop, so it's coming back from the root every year. So like we really need to get that
a little more important
out of there. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting in talking about the like the growing conditions. So the big challenge for hop growing in Wisconsin is a soil-borne fungus, the downy mildew. Does the hemp have?
No, hemp is actually oddly very resistant to a lot of different things, which is why it's such a good crop. It's pest resistant, most pests.
Right.
The only thing I've ever had to spray for on it was my very first year growing, terrified me. I was like in full tears trying to spray those little tiny green caterpillar things, and then they turn into these little white moths.
Yes.
They eat everything. They'll destroy your crop. Right. So I had to spray my plants. It took me a good solid like 4 days of like working myself up to be able to be like, okay, I need to save my crop, but I don't want to kill all these caterpillars. Yeah.
See, so I was like,
but it was fine. You know, I mean, there's still plenty of little white moths out there, but they weren't on my crop anymore. So, and I mean, I boomed that year. So it just, it's interesting. They are very resistant to a lot of that stuff. Mold is probably the most likely thing you're going to end up if you don't have enough spaced out. And if you don't, they do need some trimming as they get bigger. You know, you need to take off some of the limbs before they start flowering. The plants themselves will get bigger. The buds will be bigger. So they need a little bit of, they like to be beat up a little bit.
But isn't that fun? Then you get to go out there and see them all.
Yep, and you can just, you know, take some stuff off of them as you're walking by. And they're pretty resilient.
And are they aromatic? Like, can you...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, you touch the leaves and you're going to smell that all day. I mean, and I go out there in the field and when it's... when everything's starting to get big and blossoming and then we got pollen everywhere. And, I mean, you know, if you have any... I have a little bit of sensitivity to pollen, so my arms will be all, like... red if I go out in the field and just brush by the plants. So they're full of pollen, and that's why the males are dangerous, because one plant in a 10-mile radius can just go. Screw up all of them.
Right. Isn't that amazing? 10 miles.
Yeah.
Wind.
Yeah.
Wind is a vector.
That's
then,
all
right?
It takes. Yep. So.
And so do you have to be careful then with, like ditch wheat, you know, wild hemp that's out places to sell?
No.
That,
I mean, you could be worried about it, but you're going to spend your whole life worrying about it.
It's
yeah.
Help you to benefit.
Yeah. It's, you're not going to be able to catch it all. You
and
know,
where
kind
is,
of thing.
Where are you growing right now? Are you
in Luck?
In Luck. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So.
And are you rent a spot there?
Yep. I just rent an acre.
Okay.
Yep. From a family friend. We just rent there and then it's easy, you know, so.
And then your products, so you're making them at home or
yep I have a room dedicated in my house for making products and then it's all super just easy. I mean it's not easy, but it is, you know. I've been doing it long enough.
Whatever the ingredient are you using, like coconut oil based, like a lot of just more natural products in general?
Yep. So usually like when I make my tea, I use organic tea ingredients for everything. I do as much as I can get organic stuff. I try to use organic coconut oil when I'm making. I don't certify organic my hemp crop because it's too small to make it worth paying all.
No,
the
it's just
money
just
for certified organic. But you know, it is. I don't use chemicals at all on any of my stuff. So I try to keep everything pretty straightforward. Just grow with what nature's giving me, and that's why I want to keep it outdoor too. Indoor grow is a lot more predictable, but also you can end up with things like molding and different pests that way because it's indoor. So there's different problems with indoor.
Well, you don't have
outdoor.
Natural predators.
Right. Well, and nothing really eats hemp. I mean, the deer will come by once in a while and nibble it, but all you got to do is put some soap around the outside of the field and they don't bother it at all. Good. So just some good old, what is that soap called?
The Irish Spring.
Yeah, like, that's exactly it, the Irish Spring soap. So, yeah, it just keeps them away. So it makes a big difference. Just put it one on each corner of the field, and they don't bother it at all.
They create a perimeter.
The bear like to come and step on the plants, though, once in a while. Like, when they're little, they don't realize that they're there, and they'll walk through the field and just, like, squish a plant down. They have to dig it back up. But the plant's fine.
Right on.
It's totally fine. It doesn't mind being stepped on. It's like, tough. Oh, I'm good. Just pull me back up out of the soil.
Isn't that fun, though? Life with Mother Nature, like all the things that you get to experience and go through. Yeah, I could have used some of your magnesium cream this morning. Mm. I had one of those. I got out of bed to a Charlie
horse. Oh, yeah, I should have brought you some.
That always feels so good. That magnesium's a natural relaxer as well.
Yeah, it helps a lot. I started adding that in a few, like maybe 2.5 years ago. Somebody asked for it, and so then I started making it, and it's been a staple since.
I bet.
So, yeah.
And then the gummies, are you making your own?
Yep, so I make my gummies. I do use real beef gelatin. You know, I don't try to do the vegan stuff. I haven't got into it yet to try and figure out how to make that work because my recipe is right. And I don't know how, I haven't adventured into that yet to see, and because that's going
to
take some trial and error
to
get the recipe
with,
fixed.
Like, pectin or something.
Right,
like
right. Just a little bit different natural stuff. But I mean, I use local honey. I get honey from Z Orchard in town. And
yay, Bill. Repeat offender on the plant rant. He's been on a couple times.
So. Yeah, he's awesome. So I get my honey from him, and he's great. It's a good working relationship, and I'm glad to be using local honey because what else do you want in your gummies? I mean, I don't want sugar in there. I want real honey.
Right. Like, well, so. And Bill, like, I'm getting the goosebumps. Like, I love the community aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, Baker Orchard, we needed to have some new insurance this year, and John Baker reached out to Bill, and you know, perfect. Talked, and we were actually did wind up going with his recommendation. And
awesome.
You know, and whenever I see it, oh, how's your crop going this year? Did it, you know, and we can send business back and forth. Yeah. And like when he does the maple syrup farm tour and
yeah.
And just I love when everyone supports and promotes and helps sustain each other. We build each other up in the community. It's
yeah,
so good.
For sure. Yeah. I like to work with other local businesses when I can, for sure. So. Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, so the gelatin part kind of makes it, you're sweetening them with the honey.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really used any of those products or the edibles.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I wouldn't be opposed probably to trying some of the topical.
Yeah, so as far as, like, the edible stuff goes, I mean, nothing that I have is going to get anybody high. It's all, like I said, below that 0.3% THC, so it's going to be just the all the wonderful things about cannabis without that high, so you can still get through your day.
So, but it is, gonna, like, people are using it in their pets as anti-anxiety
yep.
or for themselves.
Yep, anxiety, stress, pain relief, facilitating sleep at night, helping with appetite, whether it be you're eating too much or too little, hemp. CBD can help even that out for you, just get you back to homeostasis.
Yeah, I have a friend who was a doctor, and he was, like, highly recommending, like, even just regular marijuana for
mm-hmm.
people with eating disorders and
yeah.
anorexia and stuff to get that appetite.
Yeah, and it can help with the opposite issue, too. I mean, you know, if you're overeating, it can help with that, too.
Oh, that's
so,
interesting.
Yeah, it does. It helps. Our cannabinoid systems in our bodies, they know what to do with that. We have a system in our body for that. They know what to do with cannabis. So our bodies are meant to consume it. It's natural. So,
which brings me back to where we started to go earlier. So, okay, the Delta 9,
mm-hmm.
that's synthetic, right? Like, I'm so confused about this. And then it really bothers me because it's like, okay, so in Wisconsin, we can sell Delta 9
mm-hmm.
and it, but yet it's like, okay, we have an actual real plant. Why are
yep.
we going to make a fake thing? So do you know much about it, or is this a whole nother topic?
Realm, but so here's the thing. Because there's no laws, once the CBD is out of the ground, once the hemp has been harvested, there's not really any laws about it. So the problem in that lies in, that's why they're able to get away with all of these Delta products, because they don't have to, they can say that it is hemp derived. But there only has to be a very small percentage of hemp derived in it, and then they can synthesize the rest to make up for the rest of it.
So it is synthetic THC.
Most of the time it's synthetic THC. There might be some of it out there that is derived from hemp, and it is largely derived from hemp in general. However, they don't have to tell you on the packaging whether it's synthesized or whether it's directly, like, they don't have to tell you how much percentage is from hemp versus how much is synthesized, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and then I noticed even in Minnesota, where marijuana is legal now, they're still selling Delta 9.
Right, and they shouldn't be. Well, see, here's Minnesota's laws are kind of screwed up with it. They haven't figured out how to sell it.
Getting the licensing out.
Yeah,
and stuff's
it's
been really
stupid.
Right?
But, yeah, so they're struggling with all that. If they would have just made it fully legal, legalized instead of doing all of this issue with not letting people they don't want people to sell it or whatever they're doing with it. It's just, it's really screwing up the market for the CBD people, because then there is all this Delta stuff. But in other states that THC is legal, the Deltas are outlawed because of them being synthetic.
Yeah, and it bothers me. It's like, okay, there's a real thing. Why
mm-hmm.
are we, what is the synthetic? And typically when you have
and people don't know,
you're taking
that it's
all
dangerous.
The plant constituents
Correct.
Out of it. So the
Correct.
Cannabinoid, so I had Buck Duncan on here. This was some, I don't know if we have archives of that. I don't know if we were recording when Buck came on and we talked about CBD, but he really talked about, like, our endocannabinoid system that
mm-hmm.
is in our body. And, you know, when you isolate a plant,
mm-hmm.
you get rid of all the other
constituents
that work together within the plant. So
right.
now, okay, say this Delta 9. You've isolated this one thing, but you're not getting any of the other.
That's exactly
stuff.
Right. That's the problem with it, is there's not enough. There's just not enough of the plant, the good parts of the plant left by the time you isolate that cannabinoid. Because, like I said, on my COA reports, which is the big report from the lab, most of the time that's not even, it's just NA. It's marked as NA or zero. because there's just not enough of it in that plant to find it. There is some strains, however, that there is more or more of the Delta 8, 9, 10, whatever, than there is of just, you know, the CBD and just, it is higher quantities in some plant strains, but it's not enough. I mean, it's going to be still below, it's so low of it. They'd have to make so much, create so much biomass and cook it down so much to get enough of it to like spray on the regular CBD buds. It just, it's just ridiculous. It's just too much processing to make it. You can't even call it the same product anymore, you know? So it's not natural anymore at that point. And it's not necessarily safe because there's no research on it.
Right.
So that's where it scares me a little bit. People are using it and they don't understand the repercussions of it. And I've tried, like when it first all started coming out, I've tried the Deltas to try and, you know, I'm in the market. I need to know, right, what it does to your body. I got nauseous. The first time I tried it, yeah, I had a gummy and it made me super nauseous. I didn't feel any like high from it or anything. That's the whole point of why they're doing it, right, is to have that high. Well, it's a way to get around the law.
And real things, like you should have the opposite effect. Like,
right.
THC should be calming down your tummy and, you know, people right. who are going through chemotherapy, it could be super beneficial. Nausea. Mm-hmm. So they can eat and so they aren't nauseous. So the fact that you got nauseous.
Yeah. And a headache.
It's like bad.
Super bad headache. I felt like I had a drug hangover kind of moment. Like it was like I took the Delta gummy and I was like instantly nauseous in like 10 minutes. And then about an hour later, I got a super bad headache and I just had to kind of sit and relax because it was not comfortable. I didn't like it. And, you know, that's not how it is for everyone, but I just cautious people, you know. Be cautious till it's fully legal.
Because well, like you say, the dangerous. Lack of research on it.
And lack of research, lack of control is really the biggest thing. There's nobody out there controlling what people are doing. So that's why they're able to get away with all the Deltas and everything. So,
well, thank you, because I've been so curious about it and just have not.
Yeah, it's a scary moment.
Myself to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why? Okay, it's synthetic, but why when there's a real thing? And then how are they making it? And then they're saying it's from hemp. So you've explained that.
It's, like, it's as long partially as they have derived.
A content of it, then they can claim
correct.
That.
Yep. It doesn't have to be fully derived from hemp. And sometimes it is fully derived from hemp, but they have to cook it down so much and isolate that cannabinoid so much that most of the time they're reproducing it after they isolate it. Then they just reproduce it. Molecules, once you start moving them around, that's when butter turns, you know, you get butter, margarine, and plastic. That's another way to think about it. Butter is real. Margarine is one molecule away from plastic. That's what they're doing to this to the hemp, is they're moving molecules around. And once you move that Delta 9 molecule and turn it into a Delta 8 or a Delta 10, you're screwing up science, man. You're messing with it too much. And it's just, it's scary. So
that is
just be wary if you're using those products because they don't know if it's dangerous or not yet. And that's the only cannabis has never killed anyone. However, these Delta things have put people in the hospital because they're overusing because they're not feeling what they think they should be feeling from it. And then they're overusing it.
Well, and my thing is too. Okay. So you're going to have these THC chips, but you're only supposed to eat one potato chip. Right. Who eats one potato chip? Nobody eats one potato chip.
Right.
I don't think they should make food. Oh, you're only supposed to have one bite of that cookie. What?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? That doesn't make any sense. Like,
it's confusing.
You don't really have control either.
Correct.
Over that dosage or the quantity or what you're putting into your body. And I don't know.
It's scary.
So your products, though, if people want to check them out, do you do the farmers markets? Are you online?
I have a website where
you can buy it.
I have a website. I have a Facebook page. I do have my dog biscuits at the Three Sisters in Clear Lake. And then other than that, I'm just mostly direct sales so they can,
find me. Is it Rose Garden Hemp?
Rose Garden Hemp, yep.
Okay, and that's a website and Facebook. They can find you on there.
Yep.
And then you have a sales page there where people can...
Yep, so I post on Facebook where I'm going to be for events. My next event is at Tatters Hall in River Falls on November 30th and December 1st.
Okay.
And then the following week on December 7th, I'll be at Deer Lake Winery again. So.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
You have to let me know when you're there. That's close by. And anytime, too, reach out to us because we can... I do a community calendar at the beginning awesome. Of the show, and we can announce that. So what's the Deer Lake Winery?
December 7th.
December 7th, Deer Lake Winery. That's nice and close for people.
Yeah.
Although River Falls.
River Falls isn't far. Fun. And if you haven't been to Tatters Hall, it's beautiful there. Oh my gosh. We were there last year for the holiday market and it was beautiful.
It's, so give them those dates again for Tatters Hall.
Also, November 31st and December 1st.
Okay. And a good time to get some holiday shopping.
For sure. Yeah. Get all your goodies.
What's the time frame on the December 7th at the Deer Lake Winery?
I believe it's like 9 to 3 or something, but I'm not for sure. I didn't get the details from her yet. I just know that she asked me to be there.
Sure, daytime thing though there.
Okay. Yep, during the day, yep.
Well, thank you, Ashley, so much. Rose Garden Hemp. This was very informative and super fun. Thank you to Baker Orchard for sponsoring Plant Rant and underwriting the show. And next month, is anybody's guess what's gonna happen?
Well, you know, you could just be a little cognizant of the problem with the door and prepare
for it.
Hey,
easy now. We don't need to go backwards.
Okay.
Moving forward, moving forward in this beautiful day.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, happy Samhain, everyone. It was a lovely, interesting day with all the warm weather, and then we got to celebrate the holiday yesterday with the snow. But actually, it was nice out.
It was beautiful.
It was so pretty. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that I have a son who loves to shovel. We went to my friends to celebrate the holiday and he got everything all cleared off. We had a fire going and lots of trick-or-treaters, and so it was a fun night.
See you next month.
See you next month.